Drew Spivak joins us from ESPN. Drew, disappointing for the Avs, and the number that probably stands out the most to me, Matt Duchene only has 4 power play points this year. What's gone wrong with him on the man advantage?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, and it kind of just speaks to the team's problems on the power play as a whole. I mean, they're 29th in the league right now on the power play this year. It's just been kind of a disaster, and it's crazy to think that because you look at all the talent that they can throw out there whenever they go on the advantage with Jerome Iginla and Ryan O'Reilly, Matt Duchene, Nathan MacKinnon before he got hurt. There's so many guys out there with it, and I think it just kind of speaks to the struggles of Matt Duchene overall this year. I mean, he's kind of been up and down. He's had spurts where he's played really well, and then he's had spurts where he hasn't been as good this year, and he's just been kind of inconsistent. So that's definitely an alarming number, but I think it just, again, it speaks to the fact that the team has just struggled on the power play so much this year, and I think that's one of the big reasons why they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that grabs me, the amount of talent they have. And when you see how low they are, it doesn't make sense to me. But if you look at Duchene and you look at MacKinnon, those are two awfully talented guys, and both of them have had what you've got to call off seasons.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, especially Nathan MacKinnon before he got hurt, he was just, there was something that was off about his game. It kind of seemed like all year. Now, you could always say that, yeah, it was a sophomore slump, and, you know, a lot of guys go through that, but he just didn't look like he was the same player. While the teams around the NHL, I think, had kind of figured out how to slow him down and how to contain him a little bit, he never quite made that adjustment to going around and being the type of player that we saw from him last year. And it's kind of been disappointing. Then, of course, he goes to the injury, injuring his foot, and then misses the rest of the year with it. It's kind of been a disappointing second season, to say the least, for Nathan MacKinnon.
Which, you know, it happens to a lot of good players. That sophomore slump is there. More so, I think, just, you know, he may be trying to do too much. And when you don't have confidence as a young player, likely probably the first time ever in his career, it's really hard to know how to deal with it.
Yeah, no question about it, too. And I think a big part of that goes into his game as well is the fact that he didn't have a guy like Paul Stastny being his everyday centerman this year, at least Stastny was for the most part last year, because Stastny allowed, I think, Nathan MacKinnon to do a lot of things just offensively, just to focus on being more of a scorer and being that guy that gets to that and just do what he does offensively. And now this year, MacKinnon's basically had to come in, and I think Patrick Waugh has tried to install a little bit more of a defensive-minded aspect to Nathan MacKinnon's game. And it really didn't take with MacKinnon. I mean, we saw a couple weeks ago in the game in Dallas where Waugh finished him basically the entire third period and then put him on the fourth line for the following game, basically because he was saying that, hey, Nathan MacKinnon was not being responsible enough in his defensive zone, and it caused him to kind of send the message to MacKinnon, and unfortunately he came out the next night and got hurt, so we didn't know how much that message got through to MacKinnon, but it's been a disappointment thing for him for sure, but hopefully he can bounce back from this injury and come back next year and kind of learn from this. And I think at the end of the day, we all kind of tend to forget that the kid's 19 years old. He's still learning this thing and still learning how to play at the NHL level on a consistent basis.
Now, Drew, everybody who knows Patrick Waugh knows how competitive he is. You don't win that many rings and play as long as he did without being that way. But you mentioned the way he handled MacKinnon. I'm not saying it's wrong, but has this season been a little more telling about Patrick Waugh than when the team essentially overachieved a year ago? Has this been a long year to deal with Patrick when it's not going well?
You know, it's funny because I think the assumption when Patrick Waugh took over as the head coach of the Avalanche is that he was going to be a fiery type of guy. You go into these post-game press conferences after they struggle or whatnot, and you would just kind of assume that, you know, he's going to explode and he's going to throw guys under the bus. And you know what? It hasn't happened at all. And I think that's been kind of a big surprise for those of us here in Denver covering the team. Now, I mean, as far as Patrick Waugh kind of dealing with things on and off the ice, he's dealt with everything, I think, the right way. He's done a lot of things right. Now, you can question some of the things that he's done, I guess, philosophically as far as his line combinations, defensive pairings, and so on and so forth. But I think the way he's handled everything, he's done a pretty good job with it. I know a lot of people here are kind of disappointed in the fact that he continues to play some of these guys defensively, like a Brad Stewart, Nick Holden, Nate Ginnin, and guys like that. But I guess at the end of the day, you kind of look look at it, that he doesn't really have a choice. And it's funny because he came out in the paper, I think it was about a week and a half or so ago, and he really praised the way that Brad Stewart has played for this team defensively this year. And it kind of threw everybody by surprise because I think the rest of us here in Denver look at Brad Stewart as a guy that's been one of the big problems with this team, especially defensively this year. But I guess it's a good thing if you have him in your locker room and you're Patrick Waugh, you say, you know what, I'm not going to throw guys under the bus. I'm going to defend them. And even though I might think a certain way, he's not going to go through the media and basically just throw guys under the bus. Even with the McKinnon thing, he went back and he basically said, oh, I must have just, you know, lost him in the rotation. So he's handled things pretty well, but I think it's definitely been an eye-opening experience from Patrick Waugh as far as a coach goes this year. And I think we all look at it and say, you know, at the end of the day, Patrick Waugh is still a junior hockey coach, still learning to try and find his way as a head coach in the NHL as well.
Drew Spivak from ESPN in Denver joins us. Oilers taking on the Avalanche tonight. Last year, people were surprised by, you know, the Avs analytics obviously didn't look great, but they had 112 points. A lot of people pointed to their blue line and that it wasn't good enough. They made some changes this year. The injury to Johnson, clearly they're not good enough on the back end. Sakic and Roy, is that what they've talked about? Is that the number one focus on what they want to try to improve their team in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to be. I mean, like I said, I mentioned the guys, the Brad Stewart and Nate Ginnon and Nick Holden, guys that quite frankly, I mean, Brad Stewart had a hard time staying in the lineup in San Jose last year. Then they go out and they acquire him via trade. Then they give him a two-year extension before he even set foot on the ice in an Avalanche uniform. And we kind of look at that deal now and we all kind of think, well, what the heck was the organization doing in doing that? But, you know, they've got to do something to improve this blue. I think one of the kind of revelations this year, I guess you could say, is that Tyson Barrie has gotten even better this year and taken his game to a whole new level. So you look at that and you look at the defensive core next year and you see Eric Johnson as your top right-handed defenseman, and then Tyson Barrie right below him is the number two right-handed defenseman. But on that left side of things, that's where they've really got to prove this thing, because right now you've got Jan Hayda, who they could have traded at the deadline but decided to hold on to him. He's probably going to come back next year and be in that top pairing defensively, which I think is a mistake. I mean, I think Jan Hayda can bring a lot to this team, but Jan Hayda is not a top pairing type defenseman. And so they've really got to improve that left side, and hopefully they can do it via free agency. I don't know they're going to be able to do it via trade. I think like everybody wants and kind of assumes that they could do that, but I don't see it as being a great of an option. Now, they do got a couple of younger guys that they can go to next year in the organization, most notably a Duncan Siemens or possibly a Chris Bigras, who's been tearing up the OHL this year. Mason Gersten, who they just signed from the WHL out of Vancouver, he's a guy that could be an option next year. So it's definitely something they're going to have to improve. If this team wants to be a competitive team in the Western Conference, they've got all the talent in the world up front, but on that back end, things have got to get better. Otherwise, we could be looking at the same disaster next year.
Well, Drew, as you well know, Edmonton Oilers fans are well aware of problems of getting the right guys on the back end. And in sense of GMs, you're sort of in the same spot. You've got a recognizable player and a Hall of Famer in Joe Sakic, but he's inexperienced as a GM. Craig McTavish is trying to get that job done here. Sakic is going to have to be very careful as to how he goes about this, because there's a lot of guys out there just waiting to help him out.
Yeah, there's no question, and I think it's kind of been an interesting topic right here. I know we've talked about it a lot on my radio show that, you know, we're trying to figure out just how much rope you give Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh, because of the fact that, you know, obviously those two guys are not only legends in the NHL, but legends here at Denver. They were a part of this team basically since day one. I mean, Patrick Waugh a couple months into the season, but they've been here basically since day one in the infancy of this organization. And so it's going to be interesting to kind of see how they approach it. Obviously, they go via trade. They've got some pieces to trade. Of course, you got Matt Duchene, you've got Ryan O'Reilly. But I think it's at least an encouraging sign is that Patrick Waugh and both Joe Sakic have said that there's nobody on this team that's untouchable. So I think that's definitely a good sign that they're willing, I think, to do what it takes in order to make some sort of a move to make this team better in the long run.
Drew, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the final run. Should be an interesting offseason for the Avs. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.